Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Next week, as I mentioned before the readings, is our big offering Sunday here at St. Mark's. And for those not familiar with that, it's just a day on which we encourage members of the church to give an extra gift, financial gift, to the work of the church here at St. Mark's. And so in preparation for that, today's address is on Luke 19, and the theme I've chosen is climbing the tree of generosity. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you are a generous God, a good God, and a giving God, and we have all received so much from your hand. Bless us as we seek to see this, to allow this to change us, and to have generous hearts as well. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. When I was a kid, I enjoyed climbing trees, and perhaps you did as well. I thought it was pretty good fun, a bit adventurous, a great vantage point to see the world from, a good place to hide if you're in trouble, or if you're playing a game of hide and seek or something like that. My boys will tell you that I've still been known to scale the tree in our backyard in search of a good hiding place from time to time. Although these days I'm usually quickly found. It's very hard to hide when you're this height, but anyway. The image of Zacchaeus, this little man Zacchaeus scampering up a sycamore tree, is perhaps one of the more comical, one of the more memorable in the New Testament. But for Zacchaeus, this day and this event also marks a really critical turning point in his life. Probably the most critical, most important day of his earthly life. So today I'd like to use this metaphor of tree climbing to consider how we too can undergo a similar change as Zacchaeus did, an ongoing conversion to Christ by climbing the tree of generosity. So the steps we're going to look at towards that goal are to examine our shortfall, to experience his grace, and to extend his gifts. That is a picture of an actual sycamore tree in Jericho that a lot of people visit this day to see kind of what the scene would have looked like. Zacchaeus had many shortfalls, many shortcomings, not just that he was short, a wee little man, as the song says, knee high to a grasshopper, vertically challenged, we might say, or whatever else. He had a lot of other things in his life that we could consider shortfalls or shortcomings. He was called a chief tax collector. He was wealthy. And we get the sense from this text that he was a fairly greedy character, self-interested, collecting more than he should have, dishonest, not very well liked by his fellow Jews, and similar things. We're told that he climbs this sycamore tree on account of the crowd. Now, that probably doesn't just mean that he was too short to see over the crowd, but probably on account of the crowd also means that these people had no interest in letting him in accommodating him, in helping him. Such was their view of this man, Zacchaeus. We're told that he's seeking Jesus, In other words, that there's something in his life which has brought him to the point of seeing and seeking and wanting something more, something different. And so we get the sense that his wealth and his worldly success have perhaps not delivered what he thought they might, that he sees a lack within himself and he goes seeking something more. So Zacchaeus finds himself up this sycamore tree, sort of looking through the leaves at Jesus as he comes into town. The first step I want to suggest towards greater generosity in our lives, towards climbing the tree of generosity, is to examine our own shortfall, to think about where our own lives come up short in some respect, our own lack or our own need, as well as the need of those around us. But it's important to start where we are personally. Now, you would know that when trying to climb a tree, usually the hardest thing is to get to that first branch. And if the first branch is out of reach, is too high for us to get to, then the whole deal's off, right? Unless you get a boost up there or something like that. So I want to suggest that actually point one is the hardest point of this whole thing, to examine ourselves, to acknowledge our true state before God, to accept it, to reflect on it, to dwell on it, at least to some extent, is an important thing for us. As it says in Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When we hear a story like that of Zacchaeus, the important thing is not for us to distance ourselves from him, but to see ourselves right there with him. That problems of greed and dishonesty and self-interest and things like that are not particular to tax collectors, but they're universal human temptations, universal human problems. For many of us, money, wealth, possessions so quickly become the goal of a lot of what we do, the center of a lot of who we are, and the object of many of our dreams and our affections. We focus on it perhaps more than we sometimes care to admit. I saw during the week that the Commonwealth Bank experienced some issues. Maybe some of you were affected by this. Number of Commonwealth Bank services went down. And the reaction of people, right, from frustrated customers of the Commonwealth Bank. I know I shouldn't find this funny, but I do when these things happen. Social media lights up, right? People just lose it. One lady wrote, "You ruined my husband's birthday." Right? Commonwealth Bank, you ruined my husband's birthday. I mean, this is just how our lives are because we revolve so much around that access to our money. And so it goes down or we can't access it or we're cut off from it for a time. And all of a sudden we feel it ruins things. It ruins us. It ruins our joy, our celebration. Money is very significant and it can be a very good thing until we start to revolve our lives around it. Making it, saving it, spending it, securing it, building it, having it to pass on to the next generation who oftentimes don't necessarily even need it or know what to do with it and they end up arguing about it. And yet we focus so much on the gifts at the expense of the giver of those gifts. We think that money makes the world go round. Well, Zacchaeus had money. And his world was crumbling. He had possessions. He had earthly success. And he knew that it wasn't enough. That it wasn't ultimately satisfying. And so he climbed the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, as the song says. Now, whether Zacchaeus is up there out of kind of curiosity or interest or desperation, we're not told exactly. The important thing is that he's there, that he comes to see Jesus passing through town. And the important thing is that Jesus spots him. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. This is entirely unexpected. Entirely unexpected for Zacchaeus and for the crowd. Right, we expect it because we've heard the story before, but they didn't, they hadn't, and they don't expect this because they divide the world into two groups of people, right? There's good and bad. There's the righteous and the unrighteous. There's the saved and there's the sinners. And Zacchaeus is over here. And he's the last person they think Jesus is going to want to talk to, let alone enter his home and eat with him and stay with him. So this is unexpected. And not just to them, it's unexpected to Zacchaeus as well. And it's unexpected to us that those we think lowly of, or those who often think lowly of themselves, are the first ones that God comes to and shows how highly he thinks of. For the Son of Man came, he came to seek and to save the lost. It's as though Jesus comes and says, "Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there, little man? Right? What are you doing up there? Get down here. Get down where I am. Come and see things from my vantage point. Come and spend some time with me, Zacchaeus." And so, of course, he does. "I must stay at your house today," says Jesus. There is this urgency. There is this necessity. And there is this graciousness in the words of Christ. "I must stay at your house today. So too, when Jesus walks into our lives, our towns, our streets, our homes, when Jesus spots us, you know, kind of looking at him through the leaves because we're not sure how close we want to get to him. We're not sure the impact he might want to have on our lives, how he might want to change things. So we just look at him from a distance a little bit through the leaves. Jesus comes over to us and Jesus calls out our name and Jesus says, get down here, quit hiding from me. You're lost and you need finding. You're sick and you need saving. The problem is far worse than you realized and the solution far closer than you realized. And so Jesus comes over to us in our lives and speaks words of urgency and necessity, but also words of grace to us. In Christ, God comes right down to where we are and tells us that our well-earned wealth or our so-called success cannot give us what we truly need, and that is him, and that is his grace. Jesus calls us over. He says, come down where I am. Come with me. Walk with me. I'll lead you somewhere. I'm taking you to the foot of the cross, to this very special tree that I'm going to climb in order to cancel the debt of sin of the world, including yours. That's where he's taking us. That's what he wants us to see. Now, this grace of God enters the life of Zacchaeus in the person of Christ, and he's utterly changed. It's a 180-degree turn. It's completely shifted him. And he gets up, either right then or perhaps later on, he gets up and he's excited. He's like this kid in the candy store, right, when he talks to Jesus. Look, Lord, look, I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone dishonestly, and we know that he probably has, I'll pay it back four times as much. Now, where did that come from? Right, Jesus didn't tell him to do it, not that it says in the text. Jesus didn't give him some directive on how to change his life. He didn't give him some percentage to pay back, some amount, not that I can see in the text. What happened? The grace of God had so taken hold of the life of Zacchaeus that he couldn't remain as he was. He couldn't not be changed by this encounter. He couldn't go on living the way he had been living. Something had to give. This is the experience of the grace of God in our lives. And this grace has come into your life. This grace has entered your world. And you can't not be changed by it. You can reject it. You can keep climbing trees and looking through the leaves from a distance. But sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. That's the promise of God. And that's the grace of God in your life. And that's the way God's grace can change us. When God's grace takes hold of Zacchaeus, his response is spontaneous and joyful and delightful and creative and generous, and it's non-sparing and it's non-begrudging, and he's not angry about it. He's not frustrated at the loss this is going to mean to him. He simply wants to respond in some way. And Jesus takes this as evidence. Today, salvation has come to this house. I can see it. I can see the response. Today, salvation has come to this house. Jesus' invitation to us today is likewise to come and stand with him at the foot of his tree, and then to climb with him another tree, a tree of generosity, a tree of living our lives like he does, a tree that the branches reach out with blessing to the world around it. That's the tree God wants us climbing in this life. Now, when it comes to our big offering Sunday next week, my encouragement to you is simply to see this as an opportunity to extend the generosity and the gifts God has given you back to him, to his church, and to those this church seeks to reach. That's all it is. But that's not insignificant either. That's an important opportunity. My encouragement to you is to recognize the shortfall, the need that currently exists, and hear it St. Mark's, if you know how things are tracking for our budget, that's fairly significant. That's a fairly substantial shortfall. And so I encourage you to read up on that. There's details in your pigeonholes. I'm not going to go through it all now. That's part of the need that's around you. But you know the need's broader than that as well. The need's in the community. The need's everywhere. My encouragement to you today is just to think about how you extend those gifts. How you hand on those blessings like Zacchaeus was learning to do. My encouragement to you is to recognize the significance of the grace that has come into your life that cancels your sin, cancels your debt with God. There is no debt between you and God anymore. That's grace. And that's how God thinks when he looks at you. Regardless of what you think when you look at you, God looks at you favorably, graciously, kindly. He loves you, he forgives you, he cares about you. The response that calls for is the same joyful, delightful, creative, spontaneous, and generous response that we saw in the life of Zacchaeus. So my encouragement to you with this big offering Sunday is simply to decide what you'd like to do with it. The ball's in your court, right? But it can be helpful for us to make a decision about these things. And decide what we can give, what we can manage to give, what we can joyfully give. 2 Corinthians 9, each of you should give as you've decided to, in your heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, Zacchaeus, he was a cheerful little giver, right? He was a cheerful giver because he wanted to, because he could, because he had the opportunity, because he knew the grace of God had overcome his shortfall and his shortcomings, and there was nothing left to do but to respond in great joy and generosity, in lives of joy and generosity. Let's pray that that would be the case for us. Gracious Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus Christ has come near to us, has called us by name. We know that we are his. We have experienced his grace. Lord God, remind us of this grace daily so that we would live in it and under it, and that by it we would be inspired and encouraged to live lives of generosity ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.